Today is December 14th, 2020. My name is Hannah Sawyer, and I am going to be talking with Priya Ray for the COVID Disability Archive. These oral histories are being recorded as a way to document the lived experiences of disabled, chronically ill, and neurodivergent individuals during the COVID-19 pandemic across the world. Okay, so thank you so much for being here. If you could start by just giving me your name, age, pronouns, and where you live.
Sure. My name is Priya Ray. I am 52 years old. My pronouns are she and her, and I live in Asheville, North Carolina.
Thanks, Priya. And can you also then give me your identity description? So whether you identify as disabled, chronically ill, et cetera, and if there are any other identifiers you want to share, feel free to do so as well.
I identify as disabled. As far as identity go, it's odd because it's not the first thing. Like if someone asked me, what are you? I'd be like, I'm Indian and I'm a woman. And then the disabled would probably be like the third or fourth thing I would say. But in for this, I do identify as disabled.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Oops. Okay. I'm sorry about that. So we're going to go ahead and get into the meaty questions of the interview. So when did you first learn about the pandemic, if you can remember, and what was your experience with this? So that could even be like, if you remember where you were or sort of what was going on at that point, emotions that you had.
Okay. So I go to, because I have chronic pain from my spinal cord injury. So I go to the gym, the YMCA here in Asheville every day. And, they always have the news. I try not to look at that because I hate the 24-hour news stations. And so they always have it up there. So like, that's when I first learned about the pandemic. I would go to the gym and the news, I believe in February, they were talking about it, but at that point it hadn't been, it was just a little confusing as far as the media goes, because, we were like saying it's happening, they're not happening here. And then, then March came along, and then I don't think I was really emotional about it. I just was a little confused. I wasn't sure if it was actually here. And then I do remember when they're like, okay, it's here and something, we need to take action about it. And I went on Facebook, which I don't use very often either. And, I'm an artist, and in Asheville, artists, like, we're very fortunate. There's a lot of crafting and art fairs that happen here, and that's how we make money. And one of my friends who's an artist posted online, what should I, because this is how he made a living. And, he was freaked out that he wasn't going to be able to go into these art and crafting things, and posted online, like, should I go? What should I do? And I was like, well, I don't know, my question. And I was kind of joking at the time. I was like, well, when there's the Black Plague, like, you just have to, like, you can't do anything. There's nothing you can do to manage it. So I don't know. I think it's better to be safer. But I was kind of joking because at the time it hadn't been even put that seriously. And then literally, I think a week later was like, they were like, okay, we're closing everything down. And then even the gym I went to, which I really love going to the gym because it's like such a great way for me to manage my pain. So that's really when I got emotional, was when the gym closed and I was like, what? So like a day, I was really upset for about a day. And then I was like, okay, Priya, you got to get up, figure out how you can exercise and, figure out how to deal with it. So I don't know. I don't get that emotional about things. I'm more of a person where something bad is happening, I'm trying to figure out the best way to deal with it, is like the way my mind goes. So that's really what it was. I got upset that I couldn't exercise. And then that was when I had my emotional moment with the pandemic. And then, yeah, and I wasn't happy about it. Let's just say.
Well, yeah, I mean, that all makes, I think, perfect sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So how has your disability impacted how you have dealt with the pandemic?
Well, I'm fortunate that I have a spinal cord injury, so I'm not really immune compromised. You know, I'm 52, so I guess I could be in the age group, but I'm actually a pretty healthy person. You know, I just got my physical, I don't have high cholesterol or any of these types of issues. I feel like almost being disabled helped me deal with the pandemic because I was already isolated. So when, you know, we couldn't go out and stuff, I didn't feel it was like such a big difference for me because I was already kind of not being able to go to places. But, you know, I wasn't like completely isolated at home. Every day I would go to the gym and things like that. So my life was impacted, but that was like the only thing, like I was really able to shift really well into the quarantine stage of the pandemic. And I even became busier during the pandemic because I'm disabled. So yeah, for me, that was the way it was.
So how has your experience with the pandemic changed over the past 9 months or so? Has it changed?
I mean, in the sense I have gotten used to it. So I think like at first it's like a shock to everyone, even including me. But even though I said it was I was actually busier and the transition, but you know, still it's like it affected my life somewhat. And then, you know, like I wanted to make, you know, I use a wheelchair. So as far as social distancing, and the mask, wearing the mask and all the stuff that we're supposed to do, I still do it. But because I'm sitting at home and not really going out, I often forget there's actually a pandemic because I don't really watch the news every second. And so sometimes even when I go out, luckily I have my mask in this bag that hangs on the back of my wheelchair. But sometimes I'll even forget like when I'm going out the door, and then I'm like, oh boy, there's a pandemic. I got to wear the mask. But you know, then of course, when I go out, then I'm just like, I don't know. I feel like other people's, like, I feel like right when the pandemic was happening, people were very cautious about trying to stay distance. But now I feel like since we've kind of been living with it, and it's almost, it hasn't totally become normalized, but it has become more normalized than it was. I feel like other people aren't really paying attention. And I'm like in this wheelchair, like literally watching people, seeing like, which way are you, you know, if you go to the grocery store, which way are you going to go? Are you, you know, so I feel like other people aren't, I don't know, they've become a little, I don't know if I want to use the word lazy, but I can't think of another word. Like they've become lazy with the practices that we have to, you know, to be in this moment, you know, so that's, I don't know, my actions. I think I just forget about the pandemic because I get so lost in doing what I'm doing. But then when I go out, I notice other people aren't really navigating it the way they should, I think.
Yeah. So you mentioned earlier that, and correct me if this is wrong, so I don't want to be putting words in your mouth. You mentioned that you were really impacted in the fact that you were no longer able to go to the gym. And so was your before the pandemic, was that a pain management routine?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah. The exercise is definitely part of my pain management. So, and you know, it makes you feel good and keeps you not depressed about life and stuff like that. So yeah, it definitely was a regimen that was part of taking care of myself as a disabled person.
And so since then, have you found sort of a replacement activity for that or no?
Yeah, actually, like I said, I was really sad for this one day that I couldn't go to the gym. But then I was like, okay, you have to find other things. So I ended up going on YouTube and looking up, you know, and I feel like we're really, you know, like the pandemic's happening, but we're so fortunate to have the technology we have. So like things like YouTube and Zoom and, you know, even like Facebook and stuff, it like they are ways to keep connected with your community or, you know, find things to do. So YouTube was, I just looked up disabled wheelchair workouts and stuff like that. So I ended up finding this workout that really worked, you know, worked for me for my pain and stuff too. So this guy suggested getting a broomstick and arm weights. So I do this, like, I go on a stander for about an hour and then I do this cardio exercise for about half an hour with a broomstick and hand arm weights that I put on my wrists. And yeah, I listen to music and do these like cardio things. So yeah, so that's, yeah, I found, you know, I found a different way. I mean, I miss the, you know, the gym is actually way better, you know, because it's this machine. So, you know, of course, I'm getting a much better workout and it's much better for my pain. But, you know, this will do till I can get back to doing that, you know.
Yeah, so you also mentioned earlier that you felt in a way your disability sort of made it easier to undergo quarantine. Could you speak a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I as a disabled person do get isolated. I mean, I'm a musician and an artist, so a lot of my social life is like going to venues. And I'm also a DIY musician and artist, which DIY means do it yourself. So that means I'm in a kind of underground situation. So basically a lot of the venues and spaces that are created for DIY spaces aren't really accessible. And so, you know, so that's an obstacle for me to even go, like, unless I have my partner is with me, you know, I might not be able to get into a place. Or, you know, the spaces are so small that when you're in a wheelchair, you know, if a space is that small, it's not really a space you can just be in all the time. So a lot of times I would have to hang out. Or I didn't mind that. I would listen to the band from outside and the bands were loud, so that was fine. So yeah, I ended up getting isolated a lot because of the way the obstacles my community had for me to take part in it. So a lot of times I wouldn't be able to go unless I had someone with me, or, you know, I didn't feel like going because I didn't feel like hanging out outside and listening to the band and so on. So yeah, like, so I did get isolated a lot that way. So when the pandemic occurred and the quarantine happened, I wasn't really that upset about the social aspect. It was more, you know, it was about the gym, which was my pain management. But the social aspect, yeah, it didn't really bother me. And I feel like the online aspect, I've even become more social because now people are doing things online. So I've been able to be a part of things more, I think, because of that, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely that idea of like almost in many ways increased accessibility. Now that so many things are online, that has been a very common theme in a lot of the interviews that I've done. So that's really interesting. Yeah. Can you speak a bit more? I know I personally know a little bit about your music and DIY background, but for people who do not know, can you give a little bit of background, since you did mention that idea of access barriers in that community?
Yeah, sure. So DIY means do it yourself. And I don't know. I mean, I can't point to a date when it started, but the movement that I would say I was a part of probably started more in the late 70s. And there's like in New York, like a lot of people, you know, that were doing things that were considered outside the norm. They would go to, you know, they would just open spaces, you know, find a space maybe that wasn't accessible. So like the point of that movement was like just to find a space and make it into a venue, so you weren't attached to corporate money and or just big money. So it was more for the people. And actually, I tell people all the time that being part of the DIY community, I felt helped me transition into becoming a disabled person, because I was 29 when I had my spinal cord injury. So I felt like when you're part of a DIY community, you just have to like figure out how to make things happen, even though you don't have the money or the space isn't, you know, something in the space isn't right, you'll have to do something to make it work. And when you're disabled, the world is not accessible. So you have to figure out how you have to figure out how you can be part of the world, and however you do it, with a friend, friends, your community assisting you, reaching out to people saying, hey, I'm coming, make sure you move that record shelf out of the way so I can get into the space, you know, things like that. And so, yeah, so the DIY community is like literally a community of people that, you know, it's a grassroots community. So they basically uplift each other by working together to make it happen. And so that's basically the community that I was a part of. And because it's like that, because it's not a lot of money involved, it's not big venues, it's like a small space that nobody wanted to rent because it was too small for a store or whatever, then, you know, these people as a collective will rent it to have shows or art, you know, music shows or art shows. And, you know, space-wise, they're not accessible in the space. You know, a lot of people don't think about accessibility of space, but when you have a lot of people in wheelchairs, you need a bigger space because wheelchairs take up room. That's just a fact. So, you know, so yeah, you know, when I became disabled, those, I didn't think about those barriers before I was disabled. But then when I became disabled, I was like, oh, wait, there's a step here. Oh, wait, I can't get through this because it's not enough room for my wheelchair. So that's when I started realizing the inaccessibility of the DIY community, and eventually started my grassroots group DIY Able to inform the DIY community how they could include disabled people in their communities.
Yeah, that's really neat. So are there ways that your involvement in the DIY community and that sort of like energy of the DIY community then informed how you have approached the pandemic, or do you not see a connection at all?
That's a good question. So I have to think about that for a second. Can you repeat it again? Like,
yeah, I guess I'm wondering if there are any ways in which your involvement in the DIY community has at all impacted how you have approached the pandemic?
Yeah, I think so, because I think I'm always in the state of figuring out how to do things. And I think that, and it's kind of why I was drawn to the DIY community, because it is about community. It's about people, not one person doing it, but a bunch of people doing it together. And So I think I'm always in the state of mind of how, you know, oh, there's an obstacle. How can I get past it to do what I need to do or what we need to do? And I think when the pandemic happened, the reason I was so busy was because I'm in a band. And so like going out and playing in public wasn't a thing that was happening anymore. And so I had to figure out how to do that, you know, how to create events. So I feel like just for my activism and the pandemic, because of being in the DIY community, I figured out, okay, I'm going to use Zoom. I'm going to do this. And this is how I'm going to create this event. I have social media. I have the Zoom account. I have Instagram. You know, all these things are available to us that we can actually create events and people can come to it. And so I think that's how the DIY thought process has helped me as far as the approach the pandemic, as far as doing things, not so much like how to solve the pandemic, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. So you already have the sort of skills and resources of like figuring things out, but yeah, not obviously solving the pandemic, but just of like different new activities and social connections.
I know, actually, to be honest, Anna, I think I made this documentary called Disability on the and like, I think if the pandemic hadn't happened, I wouldn't have really made that documentary because I was because of the pandemic, I ended up joining this safe space group for disabled people called Crip Chat. And I met other disabled, it was like the first time I was able to make friends with other disabled people. And then as a person, not even a disabled person, just as a person, started realizing what other people's disabilities were, you know, what they had to deal with their disabilities. And then also started noticing the diversity of ability within specific disabilities. And so that's when I started getting this idea. And then all these friends, I was like, hey, guys, film yourself and send me the footage and I'll make this documentary. And it's kind of like how it came about. So even I have to give the pandemic credit for me actually being able to do that. So yeah, like a lot. And I think my DIY aesthetic also helped me figure out how to, you know, like I was in the thought process like, okay, how I'm going to make this happen? How will I do this? So I feel like being in the DIY community also helped me do that as well. So
you said you joined that Facebook group after the pandemic already hit?
Yeah, like not that long. Like I think it was like a week after quarantine had happened. And
wow.
I started it maybe 2 weeks or 3 weeks before I had joined. So yeah, it was just like, yeah, it was like just these things happened and I was like, okay. And
yeah,
I went with
it. Neat.
Yeah, it's really, yeah. I mean, for me, the pandemic has, I mean, you know, I hate that it's happening. And of course I hate that so many people are dying from it and getting sick and actually acquiring disability from getting the virus. You know, I've read people are getting autoimmune diseases from having COVID. And so of course that I feel really horrible that that's happening. But for me, it's been a really positive moment in my life. So, which, you know, I always think, of course, because I always think out of horrible things, great things can happen. So that's kind of my belief. And, you know, so I'm like, of course, in the middle of this horrible pandemic, something positive is happening for me, which is, you know, kind of my belief anyway. So I'm not that shocked by
it. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So what have your relationships with people been like throughout all of this? Have your relationships with people changed?
I don't know. Like I mentioned before, I've actually made new friends, which I think has been really awesome. And I love people. I love meeting new people. So that's really exciting for me. And so, and then meeting new disabled people has been, I like literally have a bunch of disabled friends now. So that has been really awesome for me. As far as like a lot of my non-disabled friends, I feel like I'm kind of like telling them how to be able to deal with the isolation. So that's like, you know, because like where they were going out and doing a bunch of things and I was isolated and I'm not like, I'm isolated, don't go out. You know, I'm not like complaining to them about it, but I do find that a lot of my friends are complaining about what's going on. And so, you know, I politely point out to them like, well, you know, people that are disabled are isolated all the time. So, you know, maybe you should, you know, understand that and talk to them and maybe see how they deal with it. And that's kind of, you know, what I'm doing, you know, as far as like close personal friends. And I haven't really lost any friends, but I have a lot of friends that I don't really like their actions during the pandemic. But, you know, I just feel like also I'm a big believer in people decide what to do for themselves. And even if it's something you don't really agree with, I don't know. I'm not into the idea of like not being friends with someone because of their political views or their religious views or what they're deciding to do during the pandemic. And I also realize a lot of people with mental issues, they kind of need to be around people. That's like how, you know, so I understand that. But at the same time, I'm like, find another way, you know, but I don't say that to them, but I think it, you know, so it's, I haven't really gotten into those because I do know they're struggling mentally and I, you know, but I don't know what the solution would be for people like that. And especially now with winter and people already get depressed during winter being isolated by the weather. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the solution to that, but I do. There are a lot of friends, but you know, quite a few friends that are you know, they're like, I just have to get out of town and they drive. And I'm like, why? Don't leave. Just stay where you are. So, you know, but I don't really say anything because what can I do? It's like, it's how they're kind of dealing with the pandemic in their space and mind. So, but I'm, you know, that's my belief in the way I am as a person. So I know a lot of people have just like cut off friendships and stuff. You know, a lot of people told me like, I don't even speak to this person or that. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, but I haven't really turned it into like, I will never speak to that person again. And if someone's doing something, you know, like friends, they come over, they are already wearing masks when they come over. They're not like, so I don't have to tell them that. So that's the one thing I do like about some of my friends, like they'll come to my mask. And some friends have actually checked in because I'm disabled. They have this assumption that I'm part of this, you know, and they're probably reading a lot because the disabled community is talking a lot about how, you know, some of the protocol that's going on with the pandemic is literally putting disabled people's lives in danger. So a lot of my friends are checking up on me and being like, are you okay? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm fine. You know, thanks for checking up, but I'm doing good. You know, so I haven't had a lot of fallouts or anything like that, but just kind of personally to myself thinking, yeah, I don't really like that action you're doing, but I can't do anything about it. So.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Has your living situation been impacted at all by the pandemic?
I am fortunate because I live in an apartment, but because of the pandemic, I'm an artist. So the way I supplemented my income to pay the rent was to sell art at these local businesses. And, you know, and a lot of local businesses opened up their spaces for artists to come and sell their things. So that's basically been shut down here. because of the pandemic. So financially, it has really impacted like the way I have to pay the rent. And then, you know, and then like the, I live in an apartment complex. It's not like a individual landlord. Like I don't have a relationship with my landlord. It's like basically a corporation that owns the apartment complex. So, you know, so I'm kind of like arguing with them about signing a lease, and you know, I've been paying it over the month when before the pandemic I was a good tenant, I paid it on time, but now it's a bit of a struggle. So you know, I get these notices every month from the man where it's like, oh, you haven't paid your rent, you know, we'll have to take action. But you know, it's just like what they have to do because they're corporations, so that's their procedure. But you know, I'm not worried about being evicted or anything like that, but you know, it's just the money that's become a problem for me. That's how it's impacted me.
Yeah. So has that like gotten worse over the course of the pandemic? Or
yeah, definitely. Because, you know, as the pandemic goes on, the less, you know, I had some money saved from before, but, you know, I'm going through that. And then I'm not really making money. So it's kind of like a month to month, like I'm like hustling, trying to figure out, shifting money around, figuring it out, you know. So, yeah, it definitely has gotten worse as, you know, the longer the pandemic goes on. You know, I kind of say I'm not affected by the pandemic because of the isolation, but that element has prevented me from making money as a disabled person. So it has impacted me that way. And so, yeah, that's not a great thing.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have personal care attendants at all?
I have my partner who is my caregiver. So I'm fortunate. I don't really have to use a caregiving service. Okay. And he doesn't have to do, he needs to do a couple of things and stuff like that. So yeah, we kind of have our schedule, you know, our system, whatever, worked out. And he lives with me, so it's not like I'm not worried about a person not knowing where they were and stuff like that. And like other people are, and I have friends that are doing that.
Yeah. Okay. Do you feel like your relationships with different institutions has changed during this time? So, for example, healthcare, government, the media, and if so, how?
Well, healthcare, like I've had to go see my primary care physician a couple of times. That's definitely, you know, it's changed like the way, you know, we can't go in the waiting room, have to go in the parking lot, call them, let them know I'm there. And then they'll call me when they're ready for me to come in. You know, I have to wear a mask. They're wearing a mask. And then sometimes, you know, like sometimes when the doctor feels like she can do a video conference appointment, I've had to do that a couple of times. So that's how with healthcare, with other institutions, I don't know. What were the other institutions you mentioned besides healthcare? I forget.
No, you're fine. Government or the media?
Okay. The government, I mean, you know, my relationship was like, I want them to give me more money, but they're like saying no, but that's like my relationship with the government. But I don't know if that's changed. I think that's probably similar to what it was like before the pandemic. And I'm so sorry, I'm forgetting the other institution.
No, you're fine. Media.
And media. Oh, media. I feel like I'm more disconnected from media now because I think the media, like the 24 media cycle and then social media and all of this stuff, you know, being in a pandemic during the election, I just try to make I think people kind of let the media control them, whereas I feel like I want to control how I take in the media. And I think I've even done that more since the pandemic, because I don't know, I just feel like things have just gotten way crazy. And I don't know, like, as far as watching the news, you know, they're just saying all kinds of, I mean, I feel like even during when the pandemic was happening, they would be like, they like always use these words so they don't get sued for putting out misinformation. But I think, you know, they're always like, we think we, you know, like they always use a word, probably, maybe, perhaps. So, and, but then they deliver this information that may or may not be true. And then everyone gets in a panic. And then literally the next day it's like, oh no, never mind. Don't worry about that. Now worry about this, you know? So I'm very, very like aware of how the media is presented to me. So I feel like I've kind of controlled it even more since the pandemic has happened.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so what has been the hardest thing about living during the pandemic? And this can be more than one thing as well.
I would say the top of my list is not being able to go see my friends and, you know, like being able to, you know, like, I have one of my best friends, she has a house, but you know, I'm not going to go into her house right now. And like during the summer, we like would have these yard hangouts, like where we would just be in her front yard and, you know, be distance away and wearing masks and hang out. But so I would say that's like the top thing, is not being able to like hang out with the little I did with people, like not being able to do that, because I do miss that a lot. And not being able to go to the shows that had obstacles for me. Like, even though there were obstacles, I figured out how to deal with them and I went there and hung out with people. So that would be the worst. I hate going grocery shopping. I hate it because I don't like to wait in lines. And now that it's cold, I really hate that. And I just hate it because a lot of other people aren't thinking. Like, I'm constantly thinking, like, I gotta, you know, because I'm in a wheelchair. So it's like staying 6 feet away from a person in a wheelchair. So it's like a little difficult, like figuring out, like, okay, I'll park my wheelchair here and I'll be, it seems like 6 feet away from you. So I just feel like because I'm in a wheelchair, I'm really trying to pay attention how close I'm getting to people. And I don't feel like other people are paying that close attention about it. So that's really, you know, bothers me. And then, you know, just being out in the world, like, I just think people, you know, like if I'm going somewhere, going to the doctors or going, and you know, a person's just walking down the street, I'm just kind of like, and I really hate this, like, you know, I just feel the human connection is changing a little bit, and that bothers me. But hopefully, I don't know, when the pandemic's over, we can balance the online with the in-person stuff. So we'll see what happens. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. So you've already spoken some to this already, but have there been any silver linings to all of this?
Silver linings? Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, I'm a much more busier. I've actually made, you know, I've been disabled for 21 years, and this is the first time in 21 years I actually have friends that are disabled, and I can, you know, I can talk to them, because, you know, when you go through pain that's caused by your disability, people that aren't disabled, they don't really get it, and it's not their fault. I'm not angry for them, because I really am a strong believer in when you don't experience something, it's hard to understand. It's hard to understand what another person's going through. And, you know, that's why I'm really into people sharing their stories, because I think that helps people understand. So that's one of the silver linings. I think it's like a lot of my old friends that when we were all busy and they were working 40 to 50 hours a week. They didn't have time to talk and catch up. And so I've done a lot more of that. That's actually really been fun, catching up with old friends. And, you know, and so I would say the one thing is like the technology. I feel like we're learning how this technology can finally be used in a more productive way. And I think as a society, we've been forced into that because of the pandemic. Because before the pandemic, I don't think we were using technology very smart in a smart way. I think it was like we were just like, you know, it was like more destructive than it was productive. So I feel like the pandemic is really helping us learn how to use technology in a very productive way.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So that is all I have. Do you have anything that you would like to add?
No, I mean, I can't think of anything. I just, you know, want the pandemic to be over. I don't want people to get sick and or die. And, you know, that's really my main concern about, you know, even though there's silver linings for me, of course, I'm not happy about it. I want us to get through it. And I hope we can. And my hope is on the other side of the pandemic that we have a society that's like, yeah, you can work from home, that will accommodate disabled people. Because, you know, I know so many disabled people that are so smart and they don't have jobs because the world did not want to accommodate them. So I'm hoping through the pandemic, we can learn how to include disabled people more in the work front. And, you know, just like things like that, that are actually very important to the disabled community to make money and have a full life.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I'm going to go ahead and stop recording if that's all right with you.
Fine with me.